which says we need not that anybody teach us. And we show that that is, on the surface, it's not saying what it seems to be saying. Because throughout the New Testament, we are shown in many ways that we do need some guidance. Okay, let us hear the passage of Hebrews chapter 5, verse 5 and 6.
So also, Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And he said also in another place, Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek.
Okay. Turn to chapter 1 of the book of Hebrews, verse 5.
Read.
Yeah.
For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Continue.
That is Hebrews 1:5. Okay, and you have just read chapter 5, verse 5 and 6. Okay, read again chapter 5, verse 5 and 6.
So also, Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And he said also in another place, Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek.
Okay. We first learn about Melchizedek in the book of Genesis. Remember, he met Abraham. And Abraham gave him a tent. We will say more about that. But there's something which came to me while I was in the office looking over the lesson, because the lesson was prepared from last week. But something else came up and it was not addressed. The question I'm dealing with was asked some three or four weeks ago. Why do we need a priest? Why? The Bible places a lot of emphasis on priesthood. Why? And I'm throwing this out for you to turn over in your mind. What is your concept? Why does man need a priest? Who is a priest? First, to understand and grasp the idea of a priest, you have to first internalize man's dilemma. And it's important that we do. Our dilemma, that is man in general. I think a passage that personifies, that brings across our dilemma is Isaiah 59, verse 1 following. Let us hear it. Isaiah 59, verse 1 following.
Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither is his heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God.
Are you listening? It's a passage we read, but we sometimes don't realize it's telling us about us. The passage is telling me about me and my problem with God. Because here you have God over here, and you have man over here. There is a gulf. Man needs to be in fellowship with God, in communion with God, in closeness with God. But there is no way man can bridge that gulf. You see, this gulf is created by sin. And read Isaiah again.
Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save.
Mm-hmm. It's the Almighty God addressing Israel, telling the Israelite, it's no limitation, it's no problem on God's side. Why your prayers are not answered, why God is not responsive to you. God says, here is the problem. Read.
Neither is ears heavy that mm-hmm. he cannot hear.
Mm-hmm. But your not that he has grown out of hearing. Read.
But your iniquities.
Iniquity really means sin. Your sin.
Have separated between you.
That is the separation, the gulf. That's man's dilemma. Read on.
And your God. And your sins have hid his face from you,
mm-hmm.
that he will not hear.
So that's our problem. But here's the further problem.
For your hearts are defiled with blood, mm-hmm. and your fingers with iniquity.
Stop there. Now, the dilemma is that man literally need to be with, have God on his side, be in fellowship with God, be able to talk to God, be able to go to God. But because of man's sin, man cannot. That's man's dilemma. And it is this dilemma that creates the need for a representative. That's what a priest is. A priest is a representative. In fact, some lexicon describe the priest as a substitution. One who stands in the place of another. A representative. A priest is one who represents man in his relationship to God. I think Job sought to help us with the role, the role and the concept of a priest in the book of Job, chapter 9 and verse 33.
Neither is there any days man betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. Let him take the rod away from me.
Wait, it's a passage that I know I've read it here many times. Here is what probably I didn't comment on. Start again.
Neither is there any days man betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us.
The days man must be of such a nature that he can touch God and touch man, thereby representing man to God. The dazed man which is a liar. That's the concept. It's a liar who represent me to God. That's what Job needed when he was going through all that he was going through. He needed somebody that was qualified to create peace and understanding between him and God. That here the blackboard is God, that person could hold God, and the pulpit is man and hold man and talk to both of them. Get man idea and tell God. But he must be of such a nature. And Job was frustrated in that he didn't know of any days man. And he was right, there was really none. That's right. When the Almighty God created the priesthood, it was to deal with man's dilemma. Man need to be in fellowship, communion with God, but here, this gap, this gulf. What the Almighty God did as a temporary measure is create the priesthood and the animal sacrifice of the Old Testament. So the priesthood there was a temporary measure. And the priesthood, the priest represents man in his relation to God. He is a mediator. So here again, the passage of 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 tells us, and it takes for granted our need. When Hebrews chapter 2 verse 5 tells about that there is but one mediator between man and God, it is taking for granted. Paul there did not in that passage anyway, deal with the fact that we need a mediator. We need a come between. Job recognized that. Job recognized the holiness of God and man's and his own sinfulness. A lot of times we do not recognize that as much as we ought to. Job recognized that and therefore called for a daysman, a representative, a come between. Put another way, a bridge builder. One, that's what the word pontifex means. One that could bridge the gap, build a bridge, so that man can cross over and deal with God. Of course, for us, Jesus Christ is that bridge. The Old Testament priest was only a temporary measure. You notice how they had to take steps to first get themselves and ceremonially cleanse before they could go and represent the people. Jesus Christ had no need to get himself cleansed. He was pure. So a priest is a substitution. A priest is necessary because of our dilemma. We need God. We need to be in fellowship, communion with God, but our sin hinder us. And that's why a priest. Now, so we come back to Hebrews. To help us better understand Melchizedek. Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 5 and 6 is described by one theologian as, and I quote, one of the most important and significant declaration about Jesus Christ to be found in the entire Bible. And you said, that couldn't be. It is. It really is. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 5 and 6, which was just read. And the theologian who point this out is a member of the Church of Christ. Dr. Hoffman. One of the most important and significant declarations about Jesus Christ to be found in the entire Bible. Read it again.
So also, Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And he says also in another place, Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek.
Okay? The same theologian pointed out that it is likely that the writer of the book of Hebrews, the author, was the first, and get this, the first inspired writer to see in the book of Psalms 110, being quoted from in Hebrew, the Old Testament prophecy that unite, here is the importance of Hebrews and Psalms. And I'm on the point where the same theologian pointed out that it seems the writer of Hebrew was the first inspired writer to see in the book of Psalms 110 the Old Testament prophecy that, notice this, united in one, rather in a single person, the office of both king and high priest. And you may say, is that important? Very important. Because I'm coming to the point that the problem the Jews had with Jesus Christ over the past 1,000, almost 2,000 years, the problem the Jews had, or one of their main problems, is that they could not merge in Christ a priest and a king. This is one of the main problems Jews from the time of Christ up to this time had. And no passage in the Bible, the entire Bible, try, no author merge those two reality or concept, Jesus Christ being at the same time an high priest and a king. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 5 and 6 is the first and probably only passage in the entire Bible that unite the office of both both king and high priest. That's what makes that passage so important. No other passage, and I'm sure you're going to search, and it's good. Find another passage that merge the office of an high priest and a king in the person of Jesus Christ. One of the great mysteries of the prophecies about Jesus Christ had always been the apparent contradiction in the messianic prophecies about Christ throughout the Old Testament. I didn't say contradiction, I said apparent. These prophecies about Jesus Christ as priest and king appear as if there is a contradiction. Some of these prophecies, we find them exalting Jesus Christ as wonderful counselor, mighty God. Other passage, sometimes by the same inspired writer, telling that Jesus Christ is a man of sorrow, that he was despised, he was rejected of men. He is like a root out of a dry ground. He was acquainted with grief. Well, look here. These ideas do not mix. Wonderful counselor, mighty God. And at the same time, a man of sorrow. He's despised. He's rejected of men. A man of grief. And while dealing with this, these are the problems the Jews had throughout their generation. In the time of Jesus Christ and after. Because it could not be talking about the same person. It was exactly this apparent contradiction that the Pharisees could not and never did understand to this day. Most Jews reject Jesus Christ as the high priest to deal with our salvation. And it was some of these contradictions that Jesus Christ himself confronted the Jews with. Look at one of it, Matthew chapter 22, verse 41 through 46.
While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?"
It's like Jesus Christ was rubbing salt in the wound. Because this, the Pharisees was saying, you could not be the priest, the high priest and king. For one thing, you don't even come from the tribe of Levi. You come from Judah. So how can you claim to be an high priest? And you're not a king. Look on you. So Jesus Christ is further puzzling them. Read that again.
They say unto him, the son of David.
From where Christ posed the question in verse 41.
While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think ye of Christ?"
What do you think of Jesus Christ? Read.
Whose son is he?
Whose son is he? Read.
They say unto him, the son of David.
He's the son of David. That is biologically. Because as you remember, David came from the tribe of Judah. So biologically, and that is as far as they would go with Christ, biologically, he's a man. He was right there talking to them. He's a human being. Okay, you are an Israelite. You come from David. Read on.
He said unto them,
Jesus Christ didn't finish with them.
How then doth David in spirit call him Lord?
How then could David, if he's David's son, how could David, the Lord said unto my Lord? You know, how could David then
call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool.
That's right. So Christ says, if he's David's son, how comes he's David Lord? What else there?
If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word.
That's right. This was a problem for the Jews. And while we just probably brush it one side, that's why you have so many Jews all over the world to this day rejecting Christ. Because to this day, the Jews have not, that is the religious leaders among the Jews and others, they have not resolved this problem of merging Jesus Christ as priest, high priest, and king in his person. In order for them to harmonize some of these prophecies of the Old Testament, they tell us that the Jews interpret many of the prophecies about Christ being priest and king as referring to two different persons. They felt it could not be referring to one person. It was referring to two persons. Passage like Psalms chapter 2, verse 7, 100. And 10, verse 1 through 2, and verse 4 through 5. They point out this is not, and all these passages are talking about one person, Jesus Christ. The Hebrew writer, therefore, did a dramatic thing. In the book of Hebrew, he first argued from Psalms 110, verse 1 through 2, to show the universality of the kingship of Jesus Christ. Let us hear Psalms 110, 1 through 2. In this case, the Holy Spirit, who inspired David, is talking about Jesus Christ's universal kingship. That's verse 1 and 2. Let us hear it.
The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies.
So this is prophecy from the mouth of David about Jesus Christ as a ruler, as a king. Hebrews, that is Psalms 110, verse 1 through 2, that the Hebrews writer discuss in verse 5 of chapter 1. But watch here now. When the Hebrew writer take up the subject again in chapter 5, remember I have just pointed out that the Hebrew writer dealt with the subject, started or hinted at Jesus's kingship in chapter 1, verse 5. When the Hebrew writer took up the subject again in chapter 5, verse 5 through 6, he referred his readers to the very same Psalms. But in this case, verse 4 through verse 5, using it to show the everlasting universal priesthood of Jesus Christ. So first, in Hebrews 1:5, he touched on the kingship of Christ. But then, there were a lot of things going through Paul's mind that, well, I automatically said, Paul, we are not sure who wrote the book of Hebrews. And to tell you the truth, while for many years I believe it was Paul, in recent years I have had good reason to think it was some other inspired writer. For one, the verse which in chapter 2 verse 1 talks about God bearing them witness, referring to the apostle, would indicate that it might not be an apostle who wrote that. We are to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. For if the word spoken by angel was steadfast, so that every transgressor receive a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord? Watch here now. And was confirmed to us by them that heard him. This is indicating that the writer of Hebrew was taught by the apostles. The them that heard him is referring to the apostle. The very thing Paul negates, that he was not taught by any apostle. And we know that. So, as I've said, a professor in college brought this to my attention, and since then I've done some research on it. And while we know the book of Hebrew is inspired, but the writer is here implying that he got his information through secondhand news from the apostle, them that heard it. Paul himself heard the Lord. This writer is claiming he didn't hear the Lord. He got his truth from them that heard him. Have I lost you? Well, let me get back to the lesson. As I've said, so the writer of Hebrew in chapter 1, verse 5, spoke about the kingship of Christ in that verse. But the writer of Hebrew was dealing with many subjects between chapter 1 and chapter 5. So he did not pick up on the subject of the Melchizedek priesthood again until he reaches chapter 5 and verse 5 and 6. But in this time, it is not to put emphasis on the kingship, the universal kingship of Christ. He had touched on that in chapter 1, verse 5. This time he's dealing with the universal priesthood of Christ. Let us here say chapter 5, verse 5 and 6.
So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And he said also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
Now, and this is referring his Hebrew writer to Psalms 110, verse 4 and 5. And again, remember when he quoted from this Psalms first, It was the same Psalms 110, verse 1 and 2. But verse 1 and 2 dealt only with Jesus' kingship. In the letter of Hebrew, when he picks up, he's now talking about Christ's priesthood in verse 5 and 6. To use it to show the universal and the everlasting high priesthood of Christ after the order of Melchizedek. Independent of the Aaronic priesthood. In this passage, in the book of Hebrews, the Hebrew writer revealed the mysteries, or the mystery, how this suffering high priest, our high priestly Messiah, and the kingly Messiah was one and the same person. You and I take this for granted. We came along believing in Jesus Christ, that he is both priest and king, and that he has made us Christian priests. The Hebrew nation in general. Now, don't get me wrong, I never say that there is no Israelite who became Christian. I've met many Israelites who are Christian, members of the large church, but they are in the minority. Very small amount of Jews accept Christ. And that was from the time of Christ. And a major part of their problem was merging the king, this everlasting king, and this everlasting priest in one person. Remember, the Almighty God said that he is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Hebrew writer directed his audience. And remember, the book of Hebrews was written to largely an Hebrew and Israelite audience. He directed them to a Psalms that they knew. And they knew it was written by this great man of God, David. It's like the Hebrew writer is saying, go and look, you will see that Jesus Christ, who some of these Jews outside the church have persuaded you that he couldn't be priest, you'll see that in this Psalms that you accept as God's word. You'll see that in verse 1 and 2 of this Psalms, it's talking about that same person, Jesus Christ, as king. And in verse 5 and 6, it's talking about that same person, but in this case, he's now the everlasting high priest in the same person, who is Melchizedek. Could righteousness come by him? I leave that part of the question until next week, Sunday night. And there are still some more important information on Jesus Christ being after the order of Melchizedek. Remember, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 5 and 6 is the only verse in the Bible that clears up the apparent contradiction in so many of, I'm not saying it is contradiction, I'm saying it only appears so. These prophecies about Christ, Jesus Christ confronted his immediate audience with one of them. How could Jesus Christ be David's son and David Lord at the same time? Christ said, figure it out. The Hebrew writer is saying, if you have a problem with Jesus Christ as a priest forever and a king forever, the Hebrew writer said, go back to Psalms and read it more carefully. So